Good morning. How wonderful it is to be gathered in the house of our Lord and to receive from Him everything that we so desperately need, especially that forgiveness. At least I do. I'm assuming you do as well. As we are gathered here this morning in need of that forgiveness, let us remember the day that we were welcomed into the kingdom of God in the gift of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have, Lord, welcomed us into your presence, Lord, that we are able to be here, Lord, and be able to receive from you. Lord, I pray that you would work among us this morning, Lord. Use your word to grow our faith and to help us to better remember and understand this incredible gospel that you have for us. Lord, I pray that you would be active among us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we confess our sins. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing.
My Father's darkness closes in blood, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say,
morning. My name is Josh Landgraf. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's, and the first reading is from James 3, verses 5 through 10. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. This is the word of the Lord.
Scripture reading for today is Exodus 20, verse 16. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Children, it's now time for the kids' children's message. If you guys want to come up at this time. Oh, no. All right. Mason, you guys going to help? Okay, very good. All right, so today we're talking about what? I just read it. It's the eighth commandment, all right? You know what the eighth commandment is about? It says, do not tell lies about your neighbor. Could you hold on to that? Thank you. All right. So don't tell lies. You got this? It's really, really important not to do that. Could you hold that for me? Very good. All right. David. What do you think of that, huh? Well, you got the evidence in your hands. I'll take it. All right. Has anybody ever done that kind of thing to you? You guys can sit down. I got to swallow now. Eat chocolate fast. All right. So, has anybody ever done that kind of thing to you? Did anybody ever tell a lie about you and get you in trouble?
My baby sister.
Your baby sister told a lie about you?
Yeah.
That's kind of ironic. Anyway, so the thing, have you ever done that to somebody else?
No.
Like about 30 seconds ago. Yeah. Anyway, thing is, what God is telling us is this. How important is it? How much do you like it when people say nice things about you? And how much do you not like it when people say mean things about you? Right? Yeah, we don't like that at all, do we? We don't like it when people say bad things about us because then other people are going to think bad things about us, and we don't like that. We want people to think good things about us, right? Good things, exactly. So the thing is this. What does that mean about us when we hear somebody saying something mean about somebody else? What are we going to do? Are we just going to believe it?
No.
Or are we going to protect and defend the other person?
Protect and defend.
Yeah, say, hey, we don't talk bad about each other. That's not a nice thing to say. That's not a nice thing to do. We protect each other and help each other so that their reputation doesn't get hurt. Does that make sense? Because if we don't like it, they won't like it. And here's the thing. God doesn't like it, right? Because does God love you? Does he love the other person? Does he want that other person to get hurt? No. So do we want to protect them? And definitely not speak bad about them ourselves? And say everything nice about them that we possibly can? That's about right. All right, very good. So can we pray? Let's do that. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for forgiving us, Lord, even when we speak bad about our neighbor. Help us, Lord, to speak well of them. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, kids, it is time for little worship, so you guys can meet at the cross in the center of the in the center aisle. And the rest of us, let's open God's word here today. Bearing false testimony has a very legal ring to it, doesn't it? And I mean, in a very real way, that's exactly the context that this all began in, right? Moses, we find right as he was leaving Egypt and he had all these people following him, and he was trying to manage all of the legal work himself. You know, people were coming to him and asking for his judgment in this case or that case, and he was wearing himself out until his father-in-law basically pulled him aside and said, dude, you're going to kill yourself. You need to set up some sort of structure so that only the most difficult cases get to you, because here's the fact, people don't get along very well. Shocking, right? Yeah, I mean, every once in a while, we're going to need somebody who's going to be able to make judgments between one person's story and another person's story and figure out what the most just course of action moving forward will be. And since the judge most likely wasn't in the situation at the time, he's going to have to rely upon witnesses, people who saw it. People who saw a portion of it, people who, you know, can speak to the truth of what actually happened. And what this commandment is getting at is, if you are called to be a witness, you must speak truthfully. Why? Well, because somebody's on trial, and the outcome of the trial is going to be a big deal to somebody, right? There's going to be fines. There's going to be prison time. There's going to be something is going to happen. And we need to make sure that what happens is right, right? So, is this what this commandment is about? Yes. And the thing is that there's a lot of other ways that we can cause harm to people, right? Politicians do this all the time, right? I mean, how do you know a politician's lying? Yeah, exactly. It's grim. You know, it's funny. I saw this, and I just had to read it because it was just too fun. Now, this is a quote of George Smathers running for Senate in 1950. And this is what he was reported to have said about his opponent. Are you aware that Claude Pepper is known all over Washington as a shameless extrovert? Not only that, but this man is reliably reported to practice nepotism with his sister-in-law and has a sister who was once a thespian in the wicked New York City. Worst of all, it is an established fact that Mr. Pepper, before his marriage, practiced celibacy. What a skunk. Telling you what, here's the funny part. George Smathers basically denies ever saying any of this, which is even more funny because now this is a false report about him making misleading reports about his opponent. This is confusing. It's politics. Thing is this, half-truths true? I mean, not really, right? I mean, if you say something, but you make sure you say it in just the right way. So say a senator says, you know what? Funding schools and giving them even more money without some sort of changes to how the school operates is just wasting money. And the headline reads, Senator says education is a waste of money. Well, is that what he said? But that's what gets said, right? And we all see it in the world, and we've all done it. And here's the weird thing. We all believe it. We believe the headlines, even though we know that in many cases they're not right. We need to actually read the whole story and make sure we understand what was actually happening. You know, it's amazing. You know, right after an arrest is made, right after a crime happens, you read the first headline, and already we know what happened, which is magical. Because the police officer who made the arrest is still investigating because he doesn't know what happened. We are so quick to believe bad things. We are so quick to believe things that confirm what we already believe. We love that stuff. It just makes us feel warm inside. And it is breaking the Eighth Commandment. The Eighth Commandment says that we should not bear false witness against our neighbor. And what we do is we hear fragmentary information and then assume we understand exactly what's going on, and then we repeat it. And we make decisions based on it. And we allow ourselves to be part of the problem when we believe the worst about some other person. And I think a lot of times we kind of forget that these national figures, you know, politicians or people in Hollywood or whatever, you know, whatever, they're people. You know, they're people with feelings and emotions, and you know, and they also want a good reputation. And when we are part of the problem, when we eagerly believe the worst about them, we are in a very real way hurting them. And that's just the people out there. Move it closer to home. What do we believe about each other? You know? You see some people, you know, eating together at a restaurant. You know, he's married to someone else. She's married to someone else. They're eating together. What's the first thing you think? Oh, and then what else? When you go visit your friends and you mention it, you say, well, I guess who I saw eating together. And what are you implying? That something nefarious is going on. Do you know anything? And yet we are so quick to believe the worst about others. But we would hate it if it happened to us. We know how wrong it is because we would definitely not like it if the shoe was on the other foot, if we were on the receiving end of the rumors and innuendo. And the thing is that what God says is your reputation and the reputation of your neighbor is a precious gift. Think what it is to live with a bad reputation. You know? We actually have professional organizations that maintain our reputations. Did you know this? It's called a credit score. Credit score is just your reputation for whether or not you're going to pay your bills. Have a bad credit score and go buy a car. Are you going to run into trouble? Buy a house. Are you going to run into trouble? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if your reputation is damaged, your ability to carry out normal business of life is really difficult, right? And that's just business. What about relationships? You get the reputation for being a bad person, and all of a sudden people don't want to hang out with you anymore. Reputations are important, really important. And because they're important, and because the people who have these reputations are important, and because we don't want to be instrumental in damaging the lives of another person, we have to be very, very careful with our words. Text, the first reading for today, spells it out pretty good. What does it say? The tongue is a fire, right? You saw the pictures of L.A., right? Once the fire gets going, what stops it? I mean, it's a lot easier to start it than to stop it, right? And even if you do stop the fire, damage has been done. And that's exactly what God's telling us. Be careful what you say, because if you speak and are uncareful about what you say, you can hurt other people and the damage is going to be bad and you won't be able to fix it. I mean, if you start a rumor, tell one person, they tell two people, they tell two people, they tell two people. You go around and try to find all those people and set things right. It's going to be impossible. And so here's the thing. This is a commandment. You know, it's funny because by the time we get to the eighth commandment out of 10, we're thinking, okay, these must be the less important ones, the ones that don't matter as much, you know? Guys, these commandments are telling us, the last seven commandments are telling us how to love our neighbors. You know, how do I love the people that God has given me to love? How do I take care of the people that God has given me to cherish? How do I help them to have better lives? How do I, and what is he telling us in this case? How about we don't lie about each other? How about if we don't assume the worst? How about when we don't know, we admit to ourselves we don't know and that we probably shouldn't talk about it until we actually do know, which might mean never? that we have to be so very cautious and so very careful so that we do not harm our neighbor. God, in the second commandment, has very hard words for people who damage his name, right? In the eighth commandment, he says the same thing about us. Do not damage somebody else's name. Don't drag their name through the mud. Don't do it. And the question is, well, what if it's true? Is it helpful? Is it worth saying? Is it going to make things better? I mean, the thing is that if we really believe that somebody does something wrong and we believe that it's true, who is the person we're obligated to talk to about it? Them. Because we as loving Christians want to help our neighbors. We want to keep them from damaging their faith and damaging their relationship with God and damaging their relationship with other people. And so we want to go to them and humbly, kindly, you know what I'm saying? Point out their sin. And you might want to make sure that they actually did it before you get too judgy about pointing it out harshly. You know what I'm saying? Might want to ask some questions first. And the goal is to restore your brother. The goal is to help them to see what they are doing wrong and seek repentance and be restored before God and other people. So, how do we do it this? I mean, human nature is not on our side here. I mean, you go to the grocery store, right? What are all the magazines sitting right by the checkout, right? Every single one of them is peddling, yeah, rumors, innuendo. Even the billboards on the highway, the people up there never have a zit. I mean, they are perfect. And you look at those perfect people and you think, I guess that's reality and what is wrong with me. You know what I'm saying? And we get that in our head. There's lies all around us. So what we got to do is we got to know God's truth. And the truth is we're all a mess. You know what I'm saying? And the truth is God loves us anyway. And the truth is that he died for us and redeemed us. And the truth is that he loves and died and redeemed the person that we're talking about. And that when we hurt them, we hurt God. And that if we're caught doing this stuff, even if we catch ourselves, first thing we need to do is go to God and repent. Don't make excuses. Don't justify it. Don't say, well, they said something bad about me last week, so I guess we're even. It's not how that works. You go to God, and you lay your sin in front of him, and you fully accept responsibility for what you've done and for the attitudes and selfishness and insecurity and all the things that made you do it. You lay all that in front of Jesus. And if you laid that in front of any, like, pagan god, you would get fire and hell and brimstone for it. But from Jesus, what do we get? Forgiveness. Because he already paid the penalty. He already carried this. And he speaks truth to you. And he says, you are forgiven. I know that you spoke lies, but Jesus always speaks truth, and he says, you are my child. I am in heaven preparing a place for you. I will come back for you to take you to be with me forever because you are my precious child, and I love you. And that's the God we have. That's the God we worship. That's the God we follow. And that's the God that we want to bring glory with every decision that we make in life, including the ones of our mouth, of what we're going to say, how we're going to say it. So let's pray. Let's pray that God would help us and guide us and steer us and help us, that he would contain the evil that our tongues can be, and that he would help us to use our tongues for good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your incredible love. Thank you for making us your children and for bringing us into this relationship with you, Lord, and bringing us into this relationship with all these other people around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ and the people out in the world. Lord, I pray that you would help us to speak well of each other, Lord, that we would not use this incredible gift of communication, Lord, to be sinful and to do wrong, but instead to do it to build each other up and to help each other, Lord, to grow in relationship with each other and with you. Lord, thank you so much that you have blessed us in so many ways. Thank you, Lord. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we should ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Open up my eyes in wonder and joy.
We will not confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us confess. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much that you have surrounded us with such a wonderful group of people, Lord. The people that you have, Lord, our families, our friends, the people out in the world that we know, and of course, our Christian brothers and sisters here. Lord, I pray that you would help us to treat them as precious as they are, that we would protect them in every way, Lord, that we would help them and provide for them, that we would protect especially today their reputations, that we would speak carefully, that we would speak the very best, make the best of everything that we witness, and assume the best about people. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you would have continued to help us in our relationships with one another, that we are able to have relationships because of the grace we have received and the grace we are able to share. Thank you, Lord, for all this. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our brothers and sisters, Lord, especially those on the river right now, that as the waters are still rising, cresting tomorrow, Lord, I pray that you would continue to protect all of the people who are living in places, Lord, where the risk is higher. Lord, I pray that you would continue to help them and provide for them in every way. Lord, we thank you for the children that you have given us, Lord, all the wonderful little people in our congregation. I pray that you would continue to work in their hearts and their minds, grow their faith, Lord, so that they can continue to have their faith in you, Lord, and not be afraid because they have that peace that surpasses understanding. Lord, I thank you for all of this. And Lord, I pray for those in our congregation who are struggling with sickness or surgery or pain, Lord, of any kind. I pray that you would continue to help them, Lord, as they seek treatment. Lord, I pray that the treatments would be effective, Lord, and that people would be able to continue to live out this incredible gift of life that you have given us, Lord, and be a blessing to others. All this we pray in your name, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you
do?
is a new creation coming. It is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst. It is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those He loves? Does our God intend to dwell again with us? He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, He has made us a kingdom and priests to God to reign with the Son. Is He worthy? Is He worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is He worthy? Is He worthy? Is He worthy of this? He is. Is He worthy? Is He worthy?
Thank you.
My friends, we have received the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in so we received what he promises in this gift, which is forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. As our God's promise is, he's good for his word. Depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Please stand as we sing this final song together.
Rainbows of many colors, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Friends, few announcements here. First of all, middle of the second page of announcements, there is a bell choir from First Congregational Church of Crystal Lake. We'll be presenting a concert for the students at St. Mark's. We'd like to invite you guys all to come and be a part of it as well. It is Monday, April 7th. Yes, that's tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here in the Worship Center. So you're welcome to come and take part. That'll be amazing. What else is there? Easter flower deadline is now, I think. Yeah, today. That's it. So everything is very urgent here, I guess. I don't know. And then the other thing is this. I don't know if you guys are aware of our call process here in our synod. Basically, a church that has a vacancy will pray and, you know, use their brains and but with God's leadership, issue calls to somebody who's out, and then that person then has to, they have two calls. They have a call to the church they're at and a call to another church, and then they have to prayerfully consider and figure out which one God wants them to take. Our dear Janet Landgraf is right now has a call, and so we want to be praying for her as she has to make a big decision, all right? And so with that, we just got to pray for her. It's a very uncomfortable decision. I've been there before. It's not fun because you're like, all of a sudden, everything that is normal is like upset and you have to try to figure it out. So just be in prayer for her and her family as they go through all that, okay? Excellent. With that, God's blessings on your week. Stick around for Bible study. Pastor Josh is going to be teaching in here on how to witness. He's going to have another week of that. And I'm going to be in the new member class. So that's where we're going to be. So I'll see you in the back, folks.